Hi, everybody. It's episode 346 of PodQuest.
That's so many.
It's Tuesday, April 6th, 2021. I am Chris. With me is Druten.
Hello.
And Walnut.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Not too bad.
Yeah, I'm tired. That's about it.
You're always tired.
Yeah, my dog doesn't let me sleep in, so...
Well, go to bed earlier.
That doesn't work for me.
Sure it does. If you go to bed earlier, you sleep more.
That's not how that works. I don't think that's how that works.
No, I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
Because, like, I'll lay down in bed, and then I'll watch Netflix for 2 hours, and then fall asleep.
Well, don't do that.
Yeah, fucking screens away.
I could put music and stuff on, but I need noise to
just
go to sleep.
Get a white noise machine.
No, I do. I get anxious when it's too quiet, and I won't be able to sleep, and I'll go too far into my head, and then I'll keep myself up.
That's why get a white noise machine. Like, it's actually better for you.
That might help. I don't know. I used to use a fan, but like my ceiling fans and stuff, but I've always just fell on asleep with music and stuff. That we might have even talked about it, that on here. Like, I was using Pandora and stuff, and...
You have mentioned it before, yeah.
Yeah, the songs would cut at just the time as I'm about to fall asleep, and it would be too quiet, and it would freak me the fuck out and wake me up, and then the next song would start.
Yeah, that's why, just get a white noise machine. They're like $15 on Amazon. It just, they have a bunch of different settings on them, so you can get one that, like, sounds like a fan, or sounds like static, or whatever, and it just, it'll make noise so that it's not too quiet. You won't have a screen on, so you're not doing, like, all the bad stuff screens do to you. And it's just, it's constant. Like, it will just run all night, or you can set, like, a lot of them have timers. You can set it for, like, 2 or 4 or 6 hours or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do that. And then go to bed early, and you won't be tired anymore.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. But, like you said, I'm always tired.
Well, because you go to bed too late.
Yeah.
And then you lay in bed watching Netflix for 2 hours.
No, see, if I go to bed at 11 o'clock... I won't sit there watching Netflix for 2 hours. I'll be probably watching it for 15 minutes before I fall asleep. Whereas if I go to bed at, like, 9 o'clock, I'll be sitting there watching Netflix for 2 hours because I'm not a fucking child and I don't go to bed at 9 o'clock.
I didn't say go to bed at 9, go to bed at 10.
That's too early still.
Is it?
No, it's not.
10 o'clock's too early. Like, you don't even have Letterman on at that time.
No one does.
Yeah.
Well,
no one.
But, like, who took over for Letterman?
Colbert.
Like, Colbert's not even on at that point. I think Conan used to be on at 10 o'clock.
No, Conan was midnight.
Was he midnight?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about TBS.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think he used to be 10 o'clock. He might still be, but I know shows
he
only
half hour.
He doesn't
have a TV show anymore.
Oh, it's just no TV show flat out.
Oh, I didn't realize the TNT show ended already.
I'm pretty sure that ended like 2 years ago.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah, I'm 99% sure he has not had a, like, active TV show in a while.
I don't really care about late-night television like that, so I honestly just... I have no idea. I'm looking, though. I'm going to look it up real quick. Let's see. 2010 through present. It ends this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, you know, it did take a hiatus in 2018, and I forgot it came back after that hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
Also, holy shit, he's been doing that for 11 years on TBS already?
Yeah, TBS was 11 years, and he was on the Late Late Show for, 15?
Something like that. Yeah, 93 to 2009, and then he did 1 year at The Tonight Show before Leno took it back over like a dick.
Yeah, and he's got projects working with Netflix and stuff, and he's got his podcast, which I'm sure...
Well, he's doing that, he's got that deal with, like, HBO or something. Like, remember, we talked about it, like, late last year.
Yeah, that's right, it is HBO. And I think he still does his, like, on-tour stuff, like, he's going to other countries stuff, at least when there's not a pandemic, which goes on Netflix.
I believe you're right, but, yeah, like, 10 o'clock is a fine time to go to sleep, though.
I don't think so.
It's a normal time for adults who have to wake up in the morning for jobs.
I mean, maybe, I guess, I don't know. See, the way I see it, if you work a 9-to-5, if you go to bed at 10 o'clock and wake up at 6, that gives you 3 hours to get ready for work, and that's a lot of time to get ready for work. Whereas if you go to bed at 11 to wake up at 6...
Yeah, but you're also one of those weirdos that has to hit snooze 30 fucking times before they get out of bed?
Or not 11 to 6, to 7. If you wake up an hour later, if you go to bed an hour later, wake up an hour later, it's 2 hours, and that's plenty. That's still, in my opinion, more time than needed to get to work.
Yeah, but when you actually had to leave your house to get to work, what time did you wake up?
8 o'clock.
And what time were you supposed to be in work?
9 o'clock.
Wasn't there, like, a pretty long stretch there where you were waking up at, like, 8:45 and showing up at, like, 9:30?
I was never more than 15 minutes late.
How often were you late?
Unless traffic was a major issue.
But, and correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they, like, push your start time back a half an hour because you were always late?
Yeah, they moved me from 8:30 to 9. And then, yeah, I started, I was probably about 10 to 15 minutes late every day. But they didn't care, so I didn't care. If they would have reprimanded me for being late, I would have tried harder to be on time. But
I don't know that you would have.
Probably not. No, probably not. Look, I work from home now. I don't get out of bed until 7:55.
I've already been working for almost an hour.
I don't start till 8 o'clock, so I don't wake up until... I don't get out of bed until I have to. And at 7:55, I let the dog out. I log in on work. I let the dog in and feed him, make my breakfast, and then start my work day.
You're just the worst employee.
I've gotten up, worked out, and eaten breakfast, and taken a shower by the time even started to wake.
Yep.
Yeah, I usually, if I don't have to leave the house, I get up at 7:15. And that's enough time to, like, get up, walk the dog, do all that stuff. Since Eric is back at work again, she's usually, like, she'll take Kaylee out before she leaves, and then I'll take Ben out when I get up. If I have to leave for a client, I wake up at about 6:15. Like, tomorrow, I'll be up at 6:15. Can't wait.
Well, that was a thrilling 9 minutes for the listeners, I'm sure.
I mean, it was giving them an insight into how broken you are, so.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, this is fucking wild. Just didn't expect it. MLB The Show 21, developed by Sony San Diego Studio, will be releasing day and date on Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, who never would have thought that?
No.
The MLB series, I looked this up, has been exclusive to Sony since 1997 when 989 Sports released MLB 98.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before that, you had, like, and I think actually that probably within a year or two after that, you had, like, the Ken Griffey Jr. games and, like, a handful of other baseball games that had MLB licenses.
Yeah, like, EA was making a baseball game for a while. Until 2000, whenever EA got the NFL exclusive license, 2K bought up the baseball exclusive license, but Sony had, I guess was like grandfathered in to keep being able to make their series on their platform alone. So that's how the show, MLB/MLB The Show, has existed that whole time, even with there being like a 6 year plus exclusivity deal with the 2K series.
Right, I forgot that there was an MLB 2K for a while.
Yeah, it was not very good, which is why they just stopped making them.
Which is funny, because like the 2K football, hockey, and basketball were, like, back like in the day at least, were generally like the better of the sports games.
Well,
for at least a little while.
Like, I mean, and yeah, the 2K football, some people have always said was better. I never really played the 2K hockey to know for sure, but the NBA 2K has definitely been better than live ever.
I mean, look how often live just doesn't. I mean, when was the last time NBA Live even came out?
I don't even know.
I think that the last time they were supposed to release it, they just canceled it like a week before it was due out because it was fucking broken. But yeah, like MLB The Show, we knew it was going to be releasing on Xbox. That was announced last year or whenever.
December 2019 is when Sony and MLB renewed their licensing agreement, and at that point is when they sort of announced it was going to be coming to other platforms.
They just didn't say when.
Yeah,
but we've known that that this version was coming to Xbox since this year's was announced. Yeah. But for them to just like drop last week, hey, it's going to be on Game Pass on April 20th when the game releases. It's like.
That's insane, but at the same time, a sports game like this, they're gonna make all their money back by doing that.
And it's just even crazier because on PlayStation, it's a $70 game. people can play it for $15 or $10 if you just get Game Pass.
Yeah.
Or $70. And, like, yes, yeah. like, at a certain point, like, the break-even's not there, but, like, that's still 6 months or something like that of that yeah, game before the break-even happens.
And I'm sure within those 6 months, you'll have found something else to play or other things to play on Games Pass. Like, your Games Pass is such a fantastic deal that, like, you're to get it just to play the show, but you'll find something else within the time that it's like, all right, it's not worth keeping anymore.
You can play Oblivion on there.
I mean, yeah, and Skyrim, I'm sure, and whatever Bethesda games come out over the next however many years, probably be day and date, because they're owned by Microsoft now.
Oh, yeah. they have said.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on top of all this, well, not on top of, but to kind of go along with it, so Jim Ryan, Sony CEO, has said multiple times in the past that he does not think, like, the Game Pass model is worthwhile. Like, he does not see that as a reliable platform for Sony to ever move with. And now their competitor is taking their internally developed game and releasing it on Game Pass.
Yeah.
It's also worth noting that, like I said before, Sony San Diego is making the game. Historically, Sony has also published it, but MLB Advanced Media is actually going to be publishing it now. I don't know if that'll be going forward or not.
That's only the Xbox
version. Oh, is that how it's working?
Yeah, well, I pulled up the PlayStation Store page for MLB 21, and there it lists the publisher as Sony Interactive or whatever the fuck their official name is now.
Okay. Yeah, the stuff I was reading, it didn't specify that. It just simply said MLB Advanced Media was a publisher for it.
Yeah.
Which makes sense that Sony would still publish it on their own platform. But that means that while Sony is probably getting a check for it to go to Game Pass, they had no real say in it. Like, the MLB decided it. And they probably decided it as a way to get people that have either never played it because they've been in the Xbox ecosystem since 2001, or whatever other reason people may have never played it, to try it on Xbox. Like, if they're putting the marketing and the time to have it developed for the platform, I'm sure they want people to play it, so that then next year, maybe they don't put it on Game Pass. Or at the very least, maybe it doesn't stay on Game Pass for a long time. Like, maybe it's a 6 month Game Pass game before it gets taken off the service.
Yeah.
Either way, fucking crazy.
Yeah, never would expect that.
Like, I actually thought it was like an April Fool's joke when I first saw it. Like, I had to actually go, like, I'm like, no, that's not real. I'm like, IGN's just fucking with us, right? What next? Uncharted 6 is coming to Xbox One?
What if it was an April Fool's joke, and then Microsoft and their the publisher for the game was just like, you know, that's a good idea. Let's do it.
So, you know, that's what they did with Yakuza, or that's what they claim they did with Yakuza Like a Dragon.
No.
Yeah, so, I forget if it was it was either last year or the year before. For April Fool's, the team that does Yakuza and Sega released an April Fool's video of turn-based combat for the Yakuza game, which is historically was like a beat-em-up.
Mm-hmm.
But people got really excited about it, and then they claim that because people were excited so much, they decided to make that the combat system for the game.
Nice.
Whether that is entirely true or not, I kind of have a feeling that it was more of a, well, we'll do this, say it's an April Fool's joke, and, like, test the waters. Because if I remember correctly, like, the gap between that video and when the game came out was not big enough for them to make an entirely new combat system if they had already been making it a beat-em-up.
Yeah. Agreed.
But because they already had the beat-em-up mechanics from the previous games, they probably could have delayed Like a Dragon, but, like, flipped it back to beat 'em up if that just went very south for them.
Yeah.
Anyway, Drew, you checked out the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 Plus 2 next-gen upgrade.
Yeah, I plunked down the $10 to check that thing out, since I have a TV that can make use of all of that. So it's the first game I've played at 120 frames per second. And it has the graphics mode to be 4K 60 with all the crazy lighting effects, the ray tracing and all that, or you can have it pared down on the effects side but run at 120 frames. Unlike controls difference between visual and frame rate modes. I don't know that I could tell you the difference between 60 and 120 frames.
Really?
Yeah. Like, the smooth 60 feels perfectly fine. Like, I don't know that it really felt much different at 100.
Also, the fact that consoles can actually hit 120 is kind of fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of just assumed it would always be 30-60.
Yeah. And I did confirm that it was, my TV was running at 120 when I flipped over to that. If you didn't know, on the smart TV remotes, at least on more modern TVs, if you jam on the green button on the remote, it'll show like a little display box with the current resolution and frame rate and a few other things on there.
Oh, that's cool. I'll have to see if my TV's a little bit older, but I wonder if it does that, because it does have a green button.
Yeah, so check. Like, I know on my LG it does. And apparently that's, like, a thing. So I was like, let me make sure this is actually at 120. And sure enough, it's the first thing that said whatever the actual display resolution for 4K is at 120. And I was like, how about that? But the lighting effects make some of those levels look really cool. I haven't tried out too many of them, because I've only messed around with it for 20 minutes or so. But, like, the levels where it's, like, sunset and outdoor look really nice.
Oh, that's cool. Does loading or anything improve with the new version?
Yes and no. Like, sometimes I've noticed I'll bail and hit restart run, and it's basically immediate. And then sometimes it'll take, like, 1 or 2 seconds. Like, long enough for the flaming wheel loading icon to have to come on the screen. Other times it is just fade to black, you're back at start.
Okay.
And I'm not sure why. Like, it seems like the later in the run I've gotten, the faster it loads when I do restart. But I wish it was all that more, like, instant load.
Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal, just because that's what you want from that game. You want to hit retry run or whatever and have it just immediately drop you at the beginning of the run.
Yeah.
Because that was probably the worst thing about that game was just, you know, that was not, like, a viable way to play. Like, if you fucked up, you just kind of had to roll with it and see what happened.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like everyone plays Tony Hawk better, or different, more different than I do. Because if I fucked up, I would just continue going, just to see how the run did. Unless it was, like, I don't know. If I fucked up that badly, I would probably just quit and go to a different...
I mean, depends what I'm doing.
But, like, I don't remember restarting being a gameplay tactic for me.
Like, if you're going for some of the, like, super high score stuff, if you fuck up at any point, you restart. But if, like, it's the first time you're on a map and you have all 5 or 10 goals, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, fucked up my score run, but let me get skate or the hidden tape or whatever still. Like, if I still had other goals to do, I wouldn't necessarily quit. But now that I've done all the goals and basically I'm just fucking around going for high scores, if I crash, I quit, because, like, I've probably just lost 200,000 points and wasted 25 seconds. So fuck it. I might as well start over.
Yeah. And you also have the level, like the downhill levels, like the mall or downhill jam. If you're trying to do a specific thing on those levels and you miss it, it's 9 out of 10 times easier to just restart the level. And in the original game, that was basically instant. Whereas now, if it's like a 10, 15, 20 second load time, or at least the PS4 version, it's like, all right, well, maybe I do just turn around and just go back up to the top. Cause like in the downhill jam, for instance, one of the first things you can do as like a goal is, it's doing a Madonna or something like that over a water gap. And it's kind of a bitch to do if you don't have, like, your special meter up so that you have, like, the extra, like, air. But you also have to, like, hit the ramp just right and everything and also hit the move at the same time. And, like, if you fuck that up, it's easier to just restart the level than to try to make your way back up and get the speed and the special you need to just do it again. It's easier to just do that right from the get-go. Because it's right at the beginning of the level. Same thing with the mall. Like, if you miss, like, the secret tape, you can't really go back and, like, try that again. It's easier to just restart the level and try it again.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's other... most of the secret tapes are like that, really. Like, they take just enough setup time that, like, if you fucked up and missed it for some reason, it's just quicker to just restart and, like, go do the setup again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess, when I, like, the only time I played that after clearing everything on my save was multiplayer. Like, I didn't play it just to futz around and get, higher scores. So I guess if that were my goal, then maybe I'd understand restarting, but overall, I'm just like, I don't understand why restarting is epic, but that's just, it's how I used to play Tony Hawk.
You probably didn't play it as much as Drew or I did either.
No, I mean, there was a while that, like, that was all we all played.
Have you ever gotten 1,000,000 points on a level?
Probably not.
That is my current active goal, is to get 1,000,000 points on every level. And I have, like, 6 or 7, probably, and a few that are at, like, 900,000+.
That's a lot.
Yeah, some of those levels are a bitch, though, to, like, get points, because they just don't have, like, a good... Like, San Francisco. Like, it's totally doable there, but, like, that level kind of sucks for scores.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's so flat and open. Like, it's just a lot of, like, grinds and transfers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a good game. It's only a $10 upgrade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might grab that at some point just to have it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nice. It definitely looks even better than that first remake. The first version of the remake looks pretty good, at least I thought, anyway. And
yeah, no, it did.
Those lighting effects on some of those levels look real fucking cool.
Yeah, and honestly, like, that was a $40 game, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
They did a really good job remaking it. Like, I will happily throw an extra $10 at them for the upgraded version in hopes that maybe it just helps push whoever Activision to do more with the franchise and, like, maybe give us 3 and 4.
Yeah, same. That's kind of why cool. I did it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, Rich, how is Outriders? I mean, you played the demo, so I guess it's not that different.
I don't know. I haven't really been able to play it much because the servers have been shitty. Leave it to Square Enix to have a horrible release for a server-based game. This is the third one now.
You sound surprised. Why do you sound surprised?
I'm not. I actually was a little surprised with this one, because you figure, like, they just went through this with Avengers, and they went through this big time with Final Fantasy XIV. Like, they would have had their shit together. But, joking aside, I have been able to play it, but the server issues were quite a big pain in the ass, because I bought the game Thursday. After I got my first COVID shot, I was so tired after that I couldn't play Thursday, because I just couldn't function.
Did the shot really wear you out, or did you just have a busy day otherwise?
Well, I also had Jensen's rehearsal dinner, so with those two combined, it just knocked me.
Okay.
I was tired about 4 hours after getting the shot. And then Friday, servers were down all day, so I couldn't play it. Saturday was my sister's wedding, and I got to play it for 20 minutes before getting kicked out before the wedding. And then after the wedding, I got to play it for, like, maybe an hour, and that's when I've been able to consistently play since then and not really have any major issues. But, like, I'm hearing Evan and Shahed talk about how they can't even shut the game down on their PCs.
Oh, that's, like, not good.
Yeah, like, they go to close out and it crashes the game. So they have to, before they close to Windows, they have to exit to the lobby first. Otherwise, it could crash everything. And maybe they could lose their progress or whatever. I'm not really sure, but, like,
I have heard there is a complete gear deleting bug now.
So Evan experienced that, and it deleted all of his gear and left him with, like, level 1 weapons while he was checking his menu, and then when he closed his menu, he got it all back.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's the bug you heard, or, but yeah, it's kind of buggy, but it's, I haven't experienced any game-breaking issues yet, and now that, like, the servers are, like, up and running and not as terrible, I think they're fixing a lot of other stuff, and Square Enix, or at least games published by Square Enix, they're, like, on top of making sure games get fixed as fast as, like, it took a while for Avengers to be fixed, but Avengers is running fine, and now we're getting new content every couple of months, 2 to 3 months. And this game, it's like the servers, they had a major server issue. The thing that's unfortunate is that their cross-play from console to PC isn't working properly still. So it's just an inactive function right now, which is one of the main reasons I bought the game. But, like, the lore and everything else pulls me in so much. And there's just so much cool, like, ideas and technology that they run behind this game. Like, the world tier system. Based on how well you're doing, you gain experience for completing, like, objectives. And so that increases your world tier. I'm at world tier 8. If I keep dying a lot, it's going to take away the experience from world tier 8 and keep me from progressing my world tier, keeping the enemies from being harder. So it sets you at, like, that level that you are having no problems with, and once you start doing better, your world tier will progress. And your world tier, based on your world tier, enemies are stronger, equipment you can equip is stronger, and the gear drops are, like, more rare, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's just, like, a really cool aspect to the game that I very much enjoy. Even though I was stuck in World Tier 7 for about 3 days, I finally got past it the other day, and I'm almost to 9 now. There's also the weapon modding system. You break down, if there's a weapon or a piece of armor that has a mod that you have not unlocked, you break it down, and then you can just add that mod to any piece of armor or weapon that you have. So you pretty much figure out your loadout early on with the mods as you're getting them, and then always, essentially the way I'm doing it, I'm always modding my things to have these sets. So that this is how I play, this is how I'm going to get better. I like the classes, and the health system as well. Like, we talked about this a little bit where, for instance, I play as the Trickster. If you kill enemies when you're close range, you heal and you gain, shields. Whereas if you're playing as the Technomancer, you heal every time you deal damage. So it's just like there's different strategy aspects that turns this cover shooter away from being a flat out cover shooter. And it brings it into being, like, you can play as a cover shooter, but there are times where, depending on your class and your build, you might not be able to be a cover shooter because you kind of have to just run and wreck things in general.
Okay.
Yeah. And just the abilities, like, I have, I play as a Trickster. I hit things with a psionic blade. I can freeze time in an area around me, or slow down time at least. And, like, one of the cool things is if you're being shot at while in this bubble of slowed down time, you can see all the bullets coming in and being suspended. If you run into those bullets, you take damage because they're still being fired at you, which I think that's, like, silly that they, like, cool and that they did that. And once the bubble disappears, everything rushes in. So if you're standing in the middle just being shot at and the bubble disappears, everything's just going to hit you, essentially. The lore's really cool, the world's really cool, the environments are interesting, the non-human monsters and creatures are pretty neat. It's just, overall, I'm just enjoying the heck out of this game, when I can actually play it.
Nice. Well, that's good. I have seen a lot of people, like, people seem to enjoy the game, but like you said, like, the servers have been such a shit show.
Yeah.
That, like, no one's getting to play it.
Yeah, and it's like, There's those assholes out there that, like, somebody demanded a refund on Saturday because the servers weren't quite working or up to snuff. I demand a refund, and I bought my game through Sony Online, so I can't get one, so you guys need to give me one. And it's like, bro, this isn't a cyberpunk situation here. Like, the servers are down. It's making me mad, and I'll tweet at them, I guess your servers are down again, but you gotta understand that they're working on it. They're trying to fix it. And look, then the very next day, they fix their servers.
Yeah, maybe buy live service games on release.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
wait a week.
Or maybe don't market your game as not explicitly a live service game, but it actually is.
Yeah, that is the other thing. They are marketing it as, like, not a live service game. They're trying.
Yeah, they have said this is a single player game.
Yeah, the entire game can be played single player, just like Avengers. And I think they're going to be doing free content updates, just like Avengers. They're not doing raids.
I don't know that they're doing content because it's not a live game.
I don't even know if there's microtransactions. There might be.
I don't think
there's not even, like, gear based or cosmetic based microtransactions. So, like, it is frustrating that, like, this game that they're advertising as a single player game, if the servers are down, you can't play it.
Yeah, it, like you can't even play it single player unless. And so I was scrolling through the Gearbug article from Kotaku, and they had a link to some people or to Twitter, and saw some people saying on there that they had the bug happen, and then the gear showed back up, and then it happened again, and they lost everything.
Oh, that sucks.
Evan, like, it's very possible the bug happened to Evan, but it fixed itself right away.
Yeah.
But it could still happen again.
Yeah, that sucks. The thing that's kind of the funniest with these bugs is a lot of it is based on the pre-order DLC. Like, and it's just level 10 equipment that's in your stash, that whether it's in your stash or equipped on you, it's giving some players issues that you can't break down. You can't get rid of this equipment. So they gotta fix the issue with this equipment that's bugging people's games, or make it so that you can break it down so that you don't have it in there anymore. It's a little silly. It's just silly. How would you see a bug? How would you know a bug like that was going to exist? Like, there are some certain things, like, I always laugh when I see, like, I saw, Monster Hunter post on Facebook today that a patch update came out for Rise, that it was a very specific set of things had to happen for this bug to happen. And I'm just like, I don't blame them for not catching that, because who would have thought that all of these things had to happen for that?
So, for the Monster Hunter thing, I agree. For the Outriders thing, y'all knew you were giving this gear to every single person that pre-ordered the game. Fucking bug test that gear.
Yeah, well,
but that's inexcusable. Fucking inexcusable.
Oh no, trust me. I have the gear. Even though I didn't pre-order it, I just bought it on Thursday and they gave it to me. I have the gear. I haven't experienced any of these like bugs or glitches that people like the gear glitch or anything. I've only been having server issues. That's been my biggest problem.
So far, yeah.
Level 20, and level cap is 30. So I'm a decent way into like portions of the game, I guess. I don't know how long this game is supposed to be, but I'm almost at level cap, and I've been lucky enough to not experience any game breaking glitches. Like,
that's good.
There's been two things I've experienced. One was there was a piece of wood floating in the air that I couldn't move through because it was supposed to be for cover, but part of it got destroyed, but it clipped that one piece there and I just had to walk around it. It wasn't a big deal. Like, I saw that, I was like, oh, heh, and then walked around it. And then the other one was similar to what I had experienced when playing the demo. Was that, like, the dialogue and subtitles might be off. So, the dialogue would skip, and so it wouldn't lip sync. And I've experienced where they recap, or, like, they double down on some of the dialogue, but it's not out of sync. It's just, like, maybe the game just, like, I don't know, it's weird, like, somebody will say, like, they, real quick. Oh. When they're not supposed to. That's, like, it's the same they, both times, but the game catches up on itself and isn't as bad as it was in the demo. One nice thing is flags move this time. In the demo, if I ran through a flag on my PS5, it would just stay there and I would run through it. Whereas in this one, if I run through a flag, it actually flaps around me. So I'm happy that they did that, which just makes me think that the demo was the PS4 version, not the PS5 version, but still, there's no reason why flags wouldn't have moved in the PS4. But yeah, it's a fun game. Very lore filled. If you're interested in down with lore filled games, definitely check it out. And there's just some cool creatures, some cool boss fights in that game.
And I think the demo is still available. Like, I think you can still download that, can't you?
Yeah, the demo, I believe, is always going to be available. I don't think they're taking it down. And it lets you play through the intro of the game, like the first, it lets you play through the prologue. As well as, like, maybe the first hour and a half to 2 hours, something like that. I'm not really too sure.
It
lets you clear the first area, is what it is. So it might be more than two, it might be about 4 hours, because there's a boss fight, there's four side quests, actually, and a bunch of other stuff that you can do. So, probably about 4 to 5 hours. So, And level caps you at 10, I think. So you don't really get the full feel of all the abilities. When I finished it, I only had the first three. But you can try out all of the all of the characters. There's four of them, which is funny. There's four characters, but the game only allows three players at a time.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. You'd think like, oh, well, let's just let full teams of four play together. No, it's only three.
Like, if they had more characters, it would make sense. Like, if Apex or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if there were, say, six, or even five playable classes, three, okay, that's fine. But if there's four playable classes, come on, just give me the fourth. Just give me four players.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's not a complaint. I'm not complaining about that. It's just silly.
I agree to, like, yeah, come on, why isn't it four players?
Yeah. And
you're not,
go ahead.
You're not limited on classes, right? Like, two people could be the same class and be in a party, right?
Yeah, you can all be the same class and be in a party. Like, it's not Avengers where it's like, you can only have one of each hero. It's everyone can be everyone. You can have three Devastators or three Tricksters if you want.
Because I did try out the demo a little bit and, like, eh, on it.
Mm-hmm.
At least, especially as a $60 game.
Yeah.
It made me go play Warframe again.
Okay.
Except I was... You want to talk about lore-heavy games? Fucking, I had no clue what the fuck is going on in Warframe.
I've played Warframe for all of, like, maybe an hour once. Back on the PS3, maybe, or 4, whatever it was first released on for free.
PS4.
Yeah. I played it for, like, maybe an hour, and I was just like, okay, I had enough of this. And then
I think
stopped.
That was about all I played, and then I was like... I played the Outriders demo and was like, this kind of makes me want to play Warframe. Mm-hmm. So I downloaded Warframe real fast. And that game starts up and I'm like, what the fuck is this game?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, I understand it not being like, you're being iffy about it being a $60 game. But I personally feel like with the amount of customization with the classes and the four different classes, as well as the fact that it's kind of like an arena shooter based on how you play certain classes. And I think you like arena shooters because of Doom and shit. And it can be very gory like Doom. I think you'd enjoy it.
I didn't hate what I played in that demo. Mm-hmm. Like, I used the Pyromancer whatever. And, like, it was interesting. It wasn't bad. I was just like, I don't know that I'm paying $60 for this.
Yeah. And it's, like...
I'll wait for it to go on sale at the end of the month.
Yeah, but it probably will. It'll probably be on sale within the next couple of months. I don't think by the end of April, but within a few months, I can see it being on sale. But yeah, it's a fun game in my opinion, and definitely check out other classes because you might have been with the Pyromancer, but you might enjoy. Do you like cover shooters?
No, they're the fucking worst.
So then you might enjoy the Devastator or the Trickster a little bit more than the Pyromancer. The Pyromancer, their mechanics are a little iffy, in my opinion, as well. Like, the fact that your healing mechanic is you have to burn enemies and have them on fire and then kill them to get your health back. Whereas, for instance, the Devastator what does the Devastator have to do? I can't remember what the Devastator has to do, but they're like the tank. And they get abilities like holding back up bullets and throwing them back. They control the earth. The Trickster, they heal and gain shields every time they kill something up close. So those are like maybe classes that you might be more like interested in. Like just running up and shooting things. I have my class set up where I drop my ability called Borrowed Time, which teleports me back to the point that I drop it. And when that ability is up, I have an additional 2200 armor, which doubles my armor. I then have another mod where when I'm sprinting, it gives me another 2200 armor. And so I just pop that and just run. And when you use your melee while sprinting, it does a Nova for every class. So I'll just pop that, run, pop my Nova down, and then either throw my blades or shoot things with shotguns, just kill them. And the mods on my weapons give me shields as I hit enemies. And if I have shields active, another mod on my equipment sends out a blast of electricity to things within 5 meters of me every 5 seconds. And I'm working on getting even more armor. I'm not even the tank class, and I have more armor than a lot of tank class.
Yeah, I thought about trying out, because in the demo, once you got past that certain spot, it was like, oh, you can just make a new character right at this spot.
Yeah.
Whatever class, but they, I was like,
they don't.
Eh.
That's the cool thing. They don't force you to play the prologue for every class. You just
does that still happen in the full game?
I'm assuming it does. I don't know. I'm playing with my character from the initial game, my initial playthrough. So I'm assuming it lets you skip the prologue after you beat it the first time.
I stand to never play that prologue again.
Maybe years from now, or if I start a new character. Eventually, after I max out this one, I might watch it one more time, because I've only done it the one time. But, if I'm making four characters in a row, I'm not doing that prologue all four.
Maybe you just need to suck it up and do it four more times.
No.
Because
is it that bad? Dude, it's terrible. Well, it's so dumb.
It's fucking dumb. It's a cover shooter. The prologue is a cover shooter.
I mean, the story bits in that fucking prologue are dumb. It's fucking bad, dude.
Yeah, it is. All it teaches you is that you land on this planet, and then you go back into cryostasis for, 50 years or something.
Yeah.
And
this planet, it's fine, right? Crazy storm, aliens, people get fucking turned into dust or, absorbed into these lightning bolts. Yeah. Cryostasis. The fuck?
Yeah.
And that's the prologue.
But that's also what I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I thought this planet was fine and blah blah blah, and it's just like, no, I guess it's not.
Oh, asshole scientist guy was an asshole.
Asshole scientist was, he wasn't a scientist, he was a general. He was asshole general.
Oh, was he the general?
He was a general, or a military guy. Asshole military guy was an asshole. Yeah. But, it skips all of that up to the point that you get your powers, which is maybe an hour and a half. An hour to an hour and a half, probably.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All
right.
Any last things you want to say about Outriders before we move right along?
No. Not at this point. We'll see how far I get by next week.
Assuming the servers stay stable.
We'll see.
So, today, actually, April 6th, as we're recording this, PlayStation is releasing new games on PlayStation Now, including Marvel's Avengers.
That's interesting that we just saw Games Pass having MLB The Show, so...
But, PlayStation Now is not as good of a deal.
No.
So for anyone that doesn't know, PlayStation Now is a subscription streaming service for PlayStation. There are some games that can be downloaded, but for the most part, they want you to stream the games to play them. And games kind of come and go on the platform pretty regularly. It's pretty much the only way to play games that aren't PS4 or PS5 on any modern hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of them. But yeah, they're going to release Avengers on there, which it's only going to be on there for a couple months. It'll be leaving July 5th. So it's not on there for very long, but I'm wondering if... Based on all the stuff that they showed is coming kind of over the next several weeks and months at that Square Enix showcase, if this is some sort of move just to try and get people to play it, to maybe be interested enough to try that content when it comes out.
Yeah, that is 100% possible that they're trying to pull players in, and then they'll have a good sale on it come July to push for maybe Wakanda comes out in August or something.
Yeah,
I mean, that game's already been half price.
Oh, it's many times. But to do another half, or even to do a cheaper sale than half after it being on PlayStation Now, they might just be hoping to have people that have a PlayStation Now subscription try the game out, like it, and want to see the new content enough that they do grab it. Mm-hmm. The one thing worth noting, this is only the PS4 version, and it is not eligible for the PS5.
Yeah.
Which... I know last week, Rich, you mentioned that you didn't notice a difference in, the loading and everything like that on the PS5 version. It is a huge difference. I know it had been quite a while since you'd played on the PS4 version.
I watched the side-by-side comparison video after you guys talked about that last week. Holy shit, it's fucking, 2 minutes! but sometimes.
Is it the PS4 version on the PS4 or the PS4 version on the PS5?
The PS4 PS4 version was like 2.5 minutes.
Yes.
The PS4 on the PS5 was still like 1:30 versus like 17 seconds for the PS5 version to like load from start.
Yeah, so from my experience, just so you know, I've only played this game on a PS5 hardware. The PS4 version on PS5, you know, like the mission loading where like you're just kind of like standing on the Quinjet as it's like loading to like wherever location you're going?
Yeah.
PS4 version on PS5 hardware, probably about 30 seconds, give or take. Some levels loaded a little quicker, some loaded a little longer. PS5 version on PS5 hardware, less than 10 seconds.
Are they able to even get the dialogue complete by then?
I mean, there isn't usually that much dialogue there.
There's usually about 30 seconds of dialogue, which is why I never noticed it being a bad load, because there's 30 seconds of dialogue. Like, loading into missions, there's usually some dialogue in front of all missions. It's them telling you what you're doing, so that's...
Yeah, I mean, it loaded significant... So, I mean, because I just played it a week before this.
Yeah.
And I would sit there with nothing to do for 30 to 45 seconds where there was nothing happening. It was just whatever character I was playing standing on the screen, to now it's like 10 seconds of waiting before I'm in the area to play. Like,
yeah, I mean, there's maybe I just never noticed it because I was also checking my gear and everything like that. Like, and to Drew's point, I never loaded it from start screen. It was always in standby. So like, I never really experienced a handful of times from start menu on.
And to be fair, like, you played this game, the last time you played it before doing the Clint stuff was in December.
Yeah,
so
it
was 4 months ago for you to remember what it loaded, what the PS4 version loaded like on your PS5 hardware, which frankly was probably still better than it loading on your PS4 before that.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it would be dialogue done, games loaded. By the time the pre-mission dialogue was over, the mission was loaded, and it was bringing me in. Or for the hives, the elevator stuff, it's the second the dialogue was done, it was loaded, whereas on the PS4, it would be like 1 minute between floors.
Yeah, and actually, even some of that stuff, like some of like the transitions when you had to get into an elevator, or when you'd interact with something and have to walk into like a space to trigger like the next bit, that was significantly faster with the PS5 version also. Like noticeable enough that like it made a difference to me just sitting there not doing anything versus playing.
It made a difference when I was playing on the PS5 with the PS4 version, because I was able to do two hives instead of just one during my lunch.
Yeah, so now it's even better. So like, good on them for optimizing that shit for the PS5.
Yeah.
Like, good job, Crystal Dynamics. You did something right. So Rich, you told me earlier you already finished I guess it's considered the campaign for Monster Hunter Rise?
I guess. I beat every mission and I'm at the level, the Hunter rank cap, and I beat the final boss that's on the initial game earlier this week, or late last week. And that final boss was a fucking bitch. Because it's the mate to one of the other bosses that I had just fought. And it's not a super exciting fight. I don't even remember its name, because I don't care to ever fight it ever again. And it's just like, it just proves how, like, once you beat it and, it rolls credits, they then have a cutscene afterwards. And it's just like, oh, I'm gonna have to deal with these two creatures even more. Great. I don't want to. Whereas, like, in Monster Hunter World, once you beat Zora Magdaros, it brought you to high rank, and you had to go through a bunch of stuff before you fought Xenogeeva. Xenogeeva.
God, they have goofy fucking names.
but it's like, in that game... everything was scaled for single player unless you were playing with someone. You could play all missions multiplayer or single player. Whereas in this one, after you fight Magnamalo on single player, they then tell you, go do the hub stuff. it's going to be harder because the hub stuff is made for multiplayer. So you go in and you go fight the hub enemies as a single player, and you only have you and your one pet instead of your two. Whereas when you're doing the single player stuff, you have both your pets. Anybody can join, but even just playing as one player, the monsters are a little bit harder. And then with every additional player that jumps in, they get harder because they need to scale for multiplayer. It makes sense. But the fact that they force you to play the multiplayer stuff by yourself, it's frustrating.
Yeah, it does kind of suck.
Like Monster Hunter World, and this is how they did it in a lot of other Monster Hunter games, but they had a full-on, single player, beginning to end, low rank, high rank. It wasn't until G rank where you had to, rely on the hub stuff. You always had a low rank and then a high rank single player set of missions. Whereas this is just no, you just get low rank, and then you gotta go do low rank hub missions to get to high rank, and then you do the high rank hub mission. It's just, their main focus on the stampedes aren't really all that great. They're fun, but when you fight the apex monster, they just bypass everything in the first arena and go directly to the second arena, which just sucks. The second arena is the worst, and they don't give you time to prepare the second arena. So you'll be in the middle of dealing with this horde as the apex, the final monster, comes out and just runs through everything, breaking everything down, going to the second room in the arena, and then you have to follow it, place all your placements, and then start fighting it before you can even bother. It's just, there's too much that you have to rely on single player, that I don't want to do those rampages by myself. And that is one of the only ways to get better, better charms and talismans, or better decorations or gems for your weapons to increase some skills, or talismans to get certain skills. The best way to do it is to do these rampages. I'm not doing this by myself. And there's no real other, farming mission to do. And it's frustrating, because now I have to wait till the end of April to have more stuff to do, and I'll jump in back and forth from time to time, but, the game's incomplete, and it frustrates me that they released an incomplete game. These aren't made to be services games. These are made to be Monster Hunter games where you get together with your friends, but they seemingly turned it into a service game. And that's frustrating as all hell.
That really does suck.
The worst part is this was being developed before Monster Hunter World was released. And so a lot of the stuff that they put into this because of the success of Monster Hunter World doesn't work all that well. I feel like if World hadn't been so successful, they might not have relied on the hub quest and the multiplayer quest to be your main progress point. And they would have given you more single player quest. That's just how I feel. I don't know. But, it's just a letdown. I was talking about monster choice, and Rakna Kadachi is a spider monster that they were teasing in a lot of the demos. That is the last monster you fight before you fight the final boss in the hub missions. Not the last monster. It's the last, quote, urgent quest before you rank up to fight a few more monsters, and then fight the final boss. It's why were you showcasing this monster that I was looking forward to this entire time to make it only multiplayer, only high rank? And then why would you pick something a monster called Gyarados, which was in Monster Hunter World, through all ranks, and just make it a high rank monster?
Yeah, that really does seem kind of dumb.
It is, and Gyarados is the worst. It's not the worst, but he sucks. No one likes fighting him. And he's, a main part of high rank. They have some cool new monsters in this one with, Bishaten and, I can't remember its name. Gosarag. They have some cool original monsters in this. But then they just, they decided to pull some of, the dumb ones as well. Gyarados from Monster Hunter World, or where most of us are frustrated that what's his name, the monkey, I can't remember its name, is the invading monster. So in Monster Hunter, there's always a, quote, invader monster who will just be not supposed to be a monster in those biomes, but will invade into the biomes. And usually it's a Devil Joe. In Monster Hunter World, it was, I can't remember its name, but it was a B-52, basically. It was a bomber. I can't remember its name right now. But in this one, it's the monkey that they recently added to Monster Hunter World, like, late last year. And it's just like, well, why him? Why couldn't it have been a better monster?
I feel like this game was like an afterthought because World did so well.
It's, well, not an afterthought, but it's, there's essentially three teams that work on Monster Hunter. The main team did Monster Hunter World, and then the secondary team did Monster Hunter Iceborne, and then the B team did Monster Hunter Rise.
Well, wouldn't they be a C team?
Well, I mean, when I say secondary, it's like they always work on the expansions to each of them. So, like Monster Hunter Cross had Monster Hunter Double Cross or whatever it was called, which brought in the G rank. Or Monster Hunter Iceborne, the secondary team. Like they usually do like the expansion packs or the expanded versions of the game or the ultimate versions of the game. Whereas then there's the B team who makes the main games, but is the B team to making the main game. It's weird.
So do you know when or if they're going to be adding more content?
So the first content drop is at the end of April.
But I think I said that wrong. Do you know like how much content they're looking to add?
They have announced one monster plus Apex Rathalos is for the rampages, as well as several other monsters is all they've said. So it's, we're getting Chameleos, who is a chameleon, but he's invisible, and you have to break a part of him before he becomes visible. He's always a kind of a pain in the ass to fight, but also a fun fight, because he's invisible. Then the Apex Rathalos, and then several other monsters is all they said.
Okay, so, like,
yeah,
they have plans for a decent amount of content starting this month.
Yeah, and it increases your hunter rank cap, so, like, we're getting more by the end of the month. It's just, it sucks that we have to wait till the end of a month after the game came out for us to get some completed versions of the game, as well as the fact that they recently announced last week. Let me pull up the picture so I can read it properly. I might have sent it or showed it to you guys or said something about it. But there's a picture here and I can't find it. They say an additional ending is coming out in the near future.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, it's going to be more dealing with the two final bosses, or the two big bosses of this game that aren't fun to fight. Because it just, I don't, like I said, I don't remember their names. Just have a second, just look them up, and you'll be able to tell that these wouldn't be fun to fight at all. The worst part is, and I've said this last week, there are no Elder Dragons in this version of the game right now. And Elder Dragons are usually the monsters you go after to get those awesome armor sets. So I'm sitting here without my Teostras or Valhazaks or... I can't remember names right now. But I'm missing a good portion of the game. Kieran, which is in every fucking game, is not in this one. And, like, how do you take out something that's been in every Monster Hunter game?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer for you.
Yeah. But I probably won't talk much about it until a month from now when the new stuff comes out. And that's probably how it'll be, like, every month or however many things come out for release or however long it takes me to beat whatever the new release stuff, then I'll talk about it. But yeah, it's kind of a letdown right now. I was expecting a more complete game and not what I got.
Which, I mean, that's a bummer for you, but hopefully they manage to turn it around over time.
Yeah, if those several other monsters are the Elder Dragons, that'll be great. That'll give me more reason to fight and get into the meta of things. The more annoying thing is that in order to make get decorations in, say, Monster Hunter World, it was based on RNG, whereas this one you can actually just make the decorations for your equipment. So if you want to get attack up, you just have to find the specific monster to fight and just grind that until you get all the parts to make attack up gems. I'd rather kind of be RNG. This way it makes it more, a little bit more exciting. But they also turned getting talismans and charms into RNG, whereas in Monster Hunter World, it was you create them and then can upgrade them. And, like, it's just, it's, I prefer the opposite. Because I like having the charms, the talismans. So, like, if I want to attack boost 3, I make a talisman and then upgrade it to that. Instead, I need 3 level 2 attack plus charms instead of level 1s because they decided to make all the good charms level 2 in this one. It's just, it's frustrating, like, some of the stupid choices they made.
So, is this how things were in pre-Monster Hunter World Monster Hunters? Or is this even different than how old Monster
Hunter? So it's 50-50. Like, in older Monster Hunter games, the, I believe decorations could be created. And talismans had to be, or talismans had to be random, whereas, decorations were created, like, in Rise. But, for instance, in Generations or Double Cross, actually, they didn't have decorations, I don't think. It's been a while since I played some of the older ones, but they, I don't know if they had decorations. They had to have had decorations. But skills worked very differently in previous Monster Hunter games. For instance, in Generations and Cross, you needed 10 points of a skill in order to get that skill at level 1. So mixed sets weren't as common because the one full set would get you, like, those skill ups. So you could get the decorations to add the points in, but, like, they're doing the skill abilities based off of Monster Hunter World and not off of original Monster Hunters. So, like, they're taking away the fact that in Monster Hunter World, the attack gem was at level 1. And in all previous Monster Hunter games,
okay,
an attack gem would be level 1. Attack gems are now level 2 in this one.
Okay.
So it's now, you have to get rid of some of, like, the better equipment just to have an attack boost up. Like, I have no idea what I can throw into my armor besides defense jewels. And defense jewels are kind of lame, because, yeah, I don't get hit as much, but I can't really do much of anything else.
Mm.
If I have, like, I can fill up defense boost all the way, and that's really it, and figure out my level 2 slots with some attack boosters, but I can't get attack boost all the way maxed out, but I can get defense boost. Or, there's an ability called Divine Blessing where occasionally when you get hit, it'll drop the amount of damage you take by X amount of percent. So at level 1, it's 15, level 2, it's 25, and level 3, it's 50. That is a level 2 gem, whereas in Monster Hunter World, it was a level 1 gem. That's a new ability from Monster Hunter World, but they make it a level 2 gem, so now it's less of a, like, it's gonna be less of a more commonly used, like, meta ability now, because I have to sacrifice those other better abilities for this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
It was weird choices that they made that it's just like, come on, guys.
Like, it seems like choices they made, they just ignored partially that World kind of made changes seemingly for the better.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, the armor, the skill system in this is more like World. And so they took that and they're like, all right, we'll keep the World style skill system, but we're going to make some of the more meta abilities harder to have on your skills. So now you have to use other, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what stupid, like, instead of increasing my defense, I am using a poison weapon. So I am putting 3 poison gems into my skills because they're all level 1 to increase how much poison I deal to an enemy. However, in Monster Hunter, the way status effects work is the more you hit them, the more buildup it takes. So it's not you hit them and they're immediately poisoned, it's you have to hit them worth of X amount of poison damage before they can recover from poison, or before they can get poisoned. And
okay.
I don't know how it works in Rise, but in World, if an enemy is poisoned, you cannot continue to stack up the poison damage until their poison is up. So while they're ticking with their poison damage, your poison weapon is basically worthless until their poison disappears, and then you can start hitting them again with more poison ability. But there's also a threshold that every time they're poisoned or every time they're paralyzed, their threshold goes higher. So you have to hit them more in order to give them that status effect. So, like, doing status boosters aren't really that great if it's the Monster Hunter World style. I don't know how they do. If I can keep building my poison while the enemy's poisoned, great, I'm all for it. But if I can't build my poison while the enemy's poisoned, then, like, it kind of makes me a little less powerful until the poison's up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's weird choices, man. Weird choices.
Yeah, it seems like they took some flexibility away.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It sounds like in World, you kind of could fuck around with what, like, decorations or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe you had a build where, I have some of the attack and some of the defense and some of the poison, where this one you kind of have to lean all the way into one.
Yeah. Yeah, essentially. Like, I can lead all the way into having all of the defense and poison and nothing really else. Like, or I could try to lead into having all the attack, but I only have 3 level 2 gems. Gem slots, so I can't really have all the attack.
Yeah.
So I have to... Well, you know what? If I'm going to do all the defense, then maybe do all the Divine Blessing instead of all the attack. Mm-hmm. So it gives me more or less chances of taking damage or less damage I'm taking. It's just... Yeah.
Okay, then. Anything else you want to mention about Monster Hunter?
No, it's... I mean, I'm still going to be playing it. It's Monster Hunter. I enjoy playing those games in general, but I'm just... We'll see how things go with the first content drop. I'm glad I got Outriders, and it's been working. Otherwise, I'd be more upset with my purchases over the past 2.
Yeah, no, that would be a huge bummer if Outriders was, like, still broken and Monster Hunter just wasn't what you wanted it to be.
Yeah.
You're then yeah. $120 in the hole, and you're like, well, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, fuck, what else should I buy?
So, I watched Jojo Rabbit over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful movie.
I've heard about it. I've never watched it. I've heard about it.
So it's on HBO Max. It's leaving at the end of April. You should definitely watch it before the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
So in case you or anyone else isn't sure about this, it's a movie by Taika Waititi where it follows a 10-year-old boy who is a member of the Hitler Youth in late World War II Germany. So like the war is like coming to a close. During like the scope of this film,
mm-hmm.
He has an imaginary friend, Adolf Hitler, played by Waititi.
Yeah,
and the movie is just full of fucking famous people. Like, Waititi is in it as he and also directed it and wrote it. But the boy's mother is Scarlett Johansson. Sam Rockwell plays like an army general or captain or something like that. Alfie Allen plays his subordinate. Rebel Wilson is in it. Stephen Merchant. I'm sure there were some other people I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but just a lot of really good actors playing. It's a comedy, but it's a comedy drama, if anything. But they're all playing it very straight, which is appreciated. But like, it's also very over the top because they're basically making fun of Nazi Germany the whole movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The main sort of like story of it is like I said, like it follows this boy, Jojo, and he has an accident near the beginning of the movie, and throughout that ends up finding out that his mother has been hiding a Jewish girl in their, like, attic crawl space for who knows how long. And you kind of get, throughout the movie, you find out that, like, the mother is definitely more, like, anti-Nazi than anything. She's not just hiding the girl because, like, it was, like, a family friend or whatnot. But Jojo and the girl end up kind of like bonding, and she's older. I think she's supposed to be 17 or 18, and he's 10, so they kind of form like a brother sister relationship. But throughout most of it, he is kind of like not mean because like he's not being mean, but he's acting like what he's taught by like all the Nazis about the Jews were true, like that they like were monsters and like ate people's souls and shit like that. And would like, and this girl just, she would play into it. Like, and it, all of their interactions were just wonderful.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, definitely worth checking out. I don't want to say too much more about it because obviously it would spoil things.
Mm-hmm.
But it came out late 2019. So it's not too old. And yeah, just really good movie. Really good. So,
nice. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, it looked interesting and silly. And I love Taika Waititi that I've thought about watching, just never got around to it.
Yeah, I didn't really know what it was. Like, I'd seen the trailers for it and stuff like that. Like, I knew, like, what it was about, like, loosely. But the trailers also make it look way more just over-the-top ridiculous. And it has that because, obviously, like, he has an imaginary friend and everything like that. But it's definitely more grounded. And, like, the comedy is funny and the drama is actually, like, like, you get kind of tense at certain points, like wondering what's going to happen to some of these characters that, like, aren't evil people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely, like I said, it's on HBO till the end of the month, so. And after that, I'm sure you can rent it on, like, Amazon for, like, $5 or something.
Yeah.
So, The Walking Dead is going to be ending, finally, after way too many seasons of just bad show. Mm-hmm. So, they announced a while ago that this upcoming season, the 11th season, will be the final one. They announced that it's going to start airing on August 22nd, and it's going to run for 24 episodes,
mm-hmm.
which a little different than most years where, like, Walking Dead is usually, like, a Halloween show. Like, it usually comes back sometime in October, runs through, like, December, and then takes, like, a month or two break and comes back in, like, mid to late February.
Yeah.
So it's going to start, you know, 2.5 months early, give or take. The little bit of a teaser that I saw for it looks like they're going to be adapting the Commonwealth stuff from the end of the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Not entirely sure how that'll play out because a lot of that involved Rick. So I don't know who's left. I know Carol and Daryl are left on the show. I don't know who else.
Maggie's back.
Right.
She died again?
No, I think she is back. Left? But, like, I don't know how that's really going to work. I've only seen, like, bits and pieces when Eric has watched it over the last 3 or 4 seasons, I want to say.
Yeah.
So, like, I know at some point they did start doing the story with Eugene where he was talking to somebody over, like a ham radio sort of setup. And that leads him and a small group to head to the Commonwealth before they realize just how big the Commonwealth is. But yeah, not sure how they're going to do that. I might tune in for at least some of the final season just to see how they wrap it up. But I don't care about it so much. I don't see me actually watching 24 episodes of that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after, like, some of the bits that I have seen, like, when Eric has had it on, like, it just doesn't look good anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not even totally over, because the last I heard, they're still planning the Rick movies. They have the Daryl Carol spinoff that's going to be airing in 2023, and then they still have Fear the Walking Dead and World Beyond. So, like, AMC is still going to be full of fucking Walking Dead. It's just the original is going to be ending.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll find out in August what it's like. They did apparently. I get the impression that the second season 10 finale aired, I guess, this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it was all Negan. So I think they gave, like, Negan's backstory.
Yeah.
Because I know they had his real-life wife playing a role in it, and apparently the whole episode is just the two of them. But I think it's, like, a prequel to him before he became Negan.
That's... I'm kind of interested in that episode.
Yeah, they allude to it in the comics. When you find out what Lucille is to him.
Yeah.
But I don't remember them actually ever showing it, and I don't know if they ever did... Oh, you know what? They did do that Here's Negan comic. Last year? That was, like, a one-off, like, it went to support comic shops while a lot of them were shut down because of COVID. I actually never read that, but that might actually be what they adapted for this in some loose manner. I do know in the trailer for it, they show him wrapping up the bat with barbed wire. So mm-hmm. I'm assuming by the end of that episode, it's, like, his transformation into, like, the Negan we know from the show and the books.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if either of you actually even knew these things were happening, but the New Gods movie and the Trench movie over at DC and Warner Brothers have been canceled.
Nope.
Yeah, so the Trench was supposed to be an Aquaman spinoff. It was going to be like a horror-esque movie from James Wan. The Trench are like, you know, like the real-life fish that, like, live so far into the ocean that, like, they just don't know what light or color is?
Yeah.
It's basically, like, a humanoid version of those. Like, I think they're supposed to be, like, they're not Atlanteans. Like, it's not like they're an offset of them. But they're basically just these monsters that live at, like, the deepest depths of the ocean, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be about them somehow. Like, I don't know if it was going to... I thought it was going to involve Aquaman, but it's probably going to involve Atlantis in some way and trying to, like, flesh out that corner of DC.
Yeah.
And then the New Gods movie. So New Gods are kind of where Darkseid comes from.
Okay.
So, like, Darkseid is a New God. They were actually all created by Jack Kirby when he left Marvel and went to DC in mm-hmm. the 70s. That's why Darkseid and Thanos have a lot of similarities in, like, their structure and build and kind of being just like these all powerful, like godlike characters.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't really give a reason for canceling either of them. I saw a lot of speculation that the New Gods may have been canceled because of Darkseid and the Snyder Cut. Like, that movie is such like a niche thing already that people going into that and seeing like this different Darkseid may have just not understood what was going on.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. I honestly wasn't all that excited about the New Gods movie, but the Trench movie actually sounded like it could have been pretty cool.
Or, I don't know. It is weird that they're canceling these. I honestly didn't even realize that they were being made or just completely forgot that they were being made. But maybe it's just because they know that the darker kind of DC stuff just wasn't going to work, even though Snyder Cut was really good.
But so, like, the New Gods isn't necessarily, like, I don't know, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a dark movie. Like, the horror movie, obviously, yes. But, like, Darkseid is not the only New God. There are a whole bunch of them. It's very similar to, like, the Greek pantheon, in a way.
Yeah.
Like, where, like, different gods are kind of, like, ranked differently. Like, Orion is one of them. Mm-hmm. And I think Orion is Darkseid's son, but I might be wrong. Like, I don't really follow that side of DC all that well, but, like, you know, there is, like, a king of those gods and stuff like that. And, like, Darkseid is generally opposing them because he wants to destroy the world or whatever. So, like, it's not, like, it wouldn't necessarily be all dark the way, like, the Snyder Cut was, but who knows? Like, it's such a weird corner of that universe, too, that, like, maybe they just didn't know how to tie it in with anything else they're doing, assuming they want to tie anything in together.
Yeah, the DCEU is so all over the place right now that who knows? Like, they don't even know. So
yeah, exactly. And I know they did. Mm-hmm. They didn't say something last week or the week before. I forget when, but they confirmed that the Batman is not happening on like the Prime movie universe. It is from it is happening in a parallel universe of the multiverse.
Yeah, of course.
So that means, which they're probably doing that because of the Flash movie and the Flash movie trying to reset everything. This way they can have the Batman stuff with Pattinson and have it not be overly confusing, like why it doesn't tie into everything else. But also, it's going to still confuse everybody.
Oh yeah, they're being dumb.
Yeah, it's the same way I'm still trying to wrap my head around whether or not Superman and Lois is part of the, like, Arrowverse Prime or not.
Yeah.
Like, I still don't think it is, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's weird.
It really is. It really is. So I also watched Tenet this week. Tenet. There's not a second. I keep saying it with a second N in it, and there's only one.
Oh, you said that backwards. Can you say the name again?
Tenet?
All right, you said it right that time.
Thanks. Okay. Yeah, good.
That's all I know about the movie is it has something to do with people talking backwards.
Oh, no, that's not it at all.
I know it has something to do with time going backwards or something, but people make fun of it with people talking backwards.
Yeah, so the main plot of the movie is, like, the main guy who doesn't get a name in the movie, Denzel Washington's kid, he's trying to track down this thing that's causing things to invert, basically. So, like, they have bullets that are firing backwards, essentially.
Okay.
Like, at certain points, they'll find spots where there are, like, bullets wedged in glass, and then they'll go back through that later on, and somebody will shoot, and the bullet will pull out of the glass back into the gun and, like, through whoever they were shooting.
That's weird.
Yeah, no, it's really weird. And there's, like, these chambers that people can go into that will invert them to the point where, like, they do experience everything in reverse. But if they go out into, like, the world and they're not, like, contained in, like a basically, like, a clean room, they need oxygen or they can't breathe because something. I forget how they explained it. It's actually I did not want to like this movie because Christopher Nolan's kind of a douchebag.
Yeah.
Especially with how he treated this movie as, this movie's coming out during a pandemic, but it can only be released in movie theaters because I'm a fucking tool.
Yeah.
It was actually really interesting. The biggest problem, and I heard about this on the internet before I ever watched it, the mixing is fucking terrible.
Like,
most of the movie, everyone is fucking whispering, just about, and the music and sound and, like, background sound is turned, like, up to 12.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So, like, they're, like, early in the movie, like, Erica and I are sitting there watching it, and I'm like, if this doesn't get any better, I'm going to turn subtitles on, because I can't hear a word they're fucking saying. And apparently that was a decision that Nolan made, because he wanted the music to tell the story, not the fucking script he wrote.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, but it was actually a really interesting movie. I can't think of the guy's actual name. But the main guy is Denzel Washington's kid. And then Robert Pattinson is also in it. A couple other people that I don't really like, they weren't really like people that I recognized. Aaron Taylor Johnson, like Kick-Ass and Quicksilver and stuff, was in it. Didn't recognize him until like the very fucking end of the movie.
Nice.
Yeah, but overall, it's actually really cool, and it's one of those movies where, because certain things are happening in reverse, as you get through the movie, you're like, "Oh shit, this is what actually happened there."
Mm-hmm.
So like that, it has like those kind of fun moments to it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's like it's a $5 rental, $5-6 rental on Amazon, so it's not too bad. I'd say it's worth checking out, but like, do it when you're actually going to be able to sit there and like pay close attention, because if you're playing on your phone, you're just going to miss stuff because no one fucking talks loud enough.
Yeah. You want to know something fun?
Not really, but go ahead.
Godzilla vs. Kong had a better opening weekend than Tenet.
Well, I mean,
they only had
surprising.
There's only 200 more theaters for Godzilla vs. Kong than there are for Tenet.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot, but also think about this, because it also had a better opening than Wonder Woman. There are more people vaccinated now that are willing to go to movies than there were 6 months ago.
Yeah, but, I heard that the Tenet wasn't that good, which is why I looked it up when I saw that you were going to read it, or talk about it, and I was just like, I wonder how Godzilla did versus this. Godzilla domestic, or Godzilla opening weekend did 32 million. Whereas Tenet did 20 million.
Yeah, and honestly, like, Godzilla was a more fun movie. Like, 100%.
Yeah.
That movie definitely has a wider demographic to hit, too, than Tenet did. Like, Tenet is a very specific type of movie, and the trailers didn't do anything for it.
Yeah,
so,
I had no idea what Tenet was all about at all.
Same here. Like, didn't know till we watched it. And we only watched it, like, Erica actually asked to watch it, surprisingly enough, because somebody at work had said that it was interesting.
Alright, hold on. Godzilla vs. Kong opened in 2,000 more theaters than Tenet did.
Not according to Box Office Mojo.
Yes, according to Box Office Mojo. It's exactly what I'm looking at.
2,810 to 3,064.
Tenet opened in 350 years.
According to Box Office Mojo, opening 20,200 for 2,810 theaters.
I feel like you're both probably wrong.
Widest release was 2,930 theaters.
For Tenet?
Yeah. I don't know where you're getting your... and this is domestic. I don't know if maybe worldwide was different. I don't know if I can click worldwide.
Wait.
All territories. It doesn't give me a theater number.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Tenet too. Like, Tenet's wide release is 2,930 theaters for domestic. And Godzilla versus Kong.
Weird. It took me to a weird different page when I clicked domestic on Tenet the first time.
Yeah, it. But Richie was right. It was like 150 difference or something like that.
200, just around 200. 3,064 to 2,810, so just a little over 2. But it's like your 200 theaters is gonna make the 12,000 make them $12 million.
Yeah,
I mean it could, but again, that's... like I don't like I said, Godzilla has a wider demographic. I think even if the world was fine, I don't think like Godzilla would have had a higher opening than Tenet, like hands down.
I don't agree with that.
And I will also counter-argue your more people are vaccinated with numbers were way lower in September than they are now.
I mean, numbers may have been, but I'm not talking about numbers. People are stupid. They have a vaccine now, even if they only have one. And frankly, even if they haven't gotten it at all, in their head, people have gotten the vaccine, they're going to go to the movies. It's also a year later, and people are fed up with being home and are idiots and will go to the movies. But again, I'm on your side, Rich. I think Godzilla vs. Kong would have done better either way.
Like, yeah.
I 1,000% disagree. because it's Christopher Nolan. Like, look at his track record of box offices.
Godzilla vs. Kong beat Godzilla King of Monsters opening week, which had no virus going on. So, I what is the last Nolan movie that came out before Tenet?
Dunkirk, I believe.
And what was that's opening weekend? Dunkirk, $50 million for their domestic opening.
And then Interstellar, I believe, was before that.
Which, if it, like, I don't know, I feel like Kong, if it wasn't limited to 3,000 theaters, and wasn't also released on a streaming service day and date, would have had better numbers than $50 million.
Yeah, so, for what it's worth, Kong Skull Island had a larger domestic opening than both Dunkirk and Interstellar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do know what you mean, Drew. Like Nolan has a name to him, but he also does not make blockbusters. Like, not since the Batman movies. Like, he makes these movies that people actually have to stop and think about, which isn't a bad thing. But he's not making, like, the summer blockbusters that that are going to hit billion-dollar marks the way, like, a fucking Fast and the Furious movie will.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, everyone wants dumb car movies where The Rock fucking turns torpedoes around. Not everybody wants has to fucking think about things for 3 hours. Because that's the other thing. All Nolan movies are too fucking long.
Well, fair.
Like, I know Interstellar's like 2.5-3 hours. I really like Inception. It's too long. Tenet is 2.5 hours. Like, his movies are fucking commitments. Whereas, like, Kong Skull Island was 2 hours. Like, I know it's only a half hour difference, but, like, that half hour makes a difference. Especially if you're going to a movie theater.
And I misspoke. Godzilla vs. Kong had a better opening weekend than the original Godzilla 14. Not King of Monsters got about $15 million more in their opening weekend. But they also opened in May of 2019.
Okay. Wow, that King of Monsters was just 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was longer.
It was supposed to be 2018, but they delayed it a bit.
Oh, okay.
And then Godzilla vs. Kong was supposed to be 2020, but then got delayed because of the pandemic.
Yeah. Oh, did it? I didn't realize it got delayed a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Anyway, last little bit of news. Lucasfilm is celebrating their 50th anniversary this year, which, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Threw me off a whole bunch because everything I saw about this initially was about Star Wars. And it kept saying the 50th anniversary. I'm like, does nobody know how time works? Like, Star Wars just hit its 40th, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I know 2020 was a couple of extra years in there, but, like, what?
2020 was about 10 extra years.
But, yeah, so Lucasfilm was originally started in 71. So, this year is its 50th anniversary. So, one of the things they're going to be doing as part of this is re-releasing a bunch of old Star Wars books that are no longer canon. Because why not?
That's fun.
Yeah, I thought this was actually kind of weird. So they're going to be calling them Essentials Legends Collection. Confirmed books are Heir to the Empire, Darth Bane, Path of Destruction, and Shatterpoint, which is a Mace Windu book. Mm-hmm. Heir to the Empire is the first in the Thrawn trilogy, like the original Thrawn trilogy from the early 90s. I believe the other two are more like mid to late 2000 books, like after the prequels and like some of the games and stuff had happened. Especially because Shatterpoint literally has fucking Sam Jackson on the cover. They said that there are going to be additional novels republished as well, but like they haven't confirmed any. I'm assuming the sequels to Heir of the Empire will be in there because it seems absolutely fucking stupid to release part one of a trilogy and not release the other two.
Yeah.
But who knows? I just thought this was weird. Like, some of these books they've cherry-picked stuff from, like Thrawn, for instance, is canon now, thanks to Rebels and The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And, like, they released, like, a canon novel about him and everything, too. But, like, for anyone that doesn't understand, like, what the Legends, like, thing goes, that wants to read, like, Star Wars books, like, maybe very confused by that trilogy.
Maybe we're seeing the start of the Star Wars multiverse. And in the next Star Wars film, they're going to have a crisis on infinite galaxies.
Nice try.
I was working on it. I was getting
like,
there.
I feel like had you thought of that like an hour before we started a recording, you probably would have had it like...
I could have workshopped it more in my head and... Yeah.
Yeah. I think you probably would have gotten there a little bit better. But like... Yeah. You get like a C+ for effort.
Thanks. Thanks. Yeah. I tried.
Yeah, no problem. I don't think these books are necessarily going to sell any better. Like, you can still buy most of the the Legends books, like, Amazon still has a bunch of them. Like, they're all available as, like, ebooks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure what sort of market they're hoping to hit with, like... It's basically, like, slapping the greatest hits label on it from, like old PlayStation games.
Yeah.
But they're still going to probably be the same price as a normal novel, like, $10, give or take.
Yeah.
So.
It's silly. It's a silly decision to commemorate your 50th anniversary with books.
So, they are definitely going to do more. This was just the only thing I saw announced so far.
Yeah.
We are most likely going to see some other Star Wars and probably like Indiana Jones, things like that, announced throughout this year.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, you're back to non-modern Godzilla movies with Godzilla 2000 from 1999.
Yes. I love that. It's Godzilla 2000. It was released in 1999. It just makes me laugh thinking about that. Yeah. So Godzilla 2000 was a movie. It's a one-shot. It's really weird because I was looking into the next Godzilla movie and it does not get, Godzilla 2000 does not get mentioned at all. And Godzilla 2000 was supposed to be a reboot for the Millennium Era, but like the next movie just reboots everything and actually takes away anything that happened in 54. Whereas Godzilla 2000 was supposed to at least take place post 1954 on its own, but it's just like it wasn't all that great. I didn't like the look of Godzilla. His atomic breath was red. The monster was interesting at least. I enjoyed the monster that they were showing, and it was an interesting like alien. They're back to aliens now. But it was weird. It was so weird, and like. The movie starts that there's the Godzilla Prediction Unit, I believe is what it was called. And they're supposed to predict whenever Godzilla is going to come to shore. And so they study Godzilla and his movements and when he's coming to shore and what he's coming to shore for. But it doesn't make sense if this is the sequel to Godzilla from 1954 where they killed Godzilla. How do they know Godzilla still exists? How is it that... And it is at the end of Godzilla vs. Destoroyah. Godzilla dies, killing Destoroyah. Godzilla then explodes, and all his radiation is fed into baby Godzilla, which then you see a silhouette of a new Godzilla, which is supposed to be the new baby Godzilla as the new Godzilla. They don't even like reference that movie. They don't reference any of that era. This is supposed to be a new set of movies that Godzilla has just existed. Apparently. Even though they killed him in 1950.
So it seems like so the last era basically did the same thing, right? Where like,
yeah.
It started over as like, oh yeah, no, this is a sequel to 1954 where we killed Godzilla.
Yeah, which I don't think they ever really explained how Godzilla survived when they killed Godzilla from 1950. Like, it's, but that's just one of those, like, the one thing you can kind of take from Godzilla 2000 is that there is, Godzilla has this, is super regenerative. So maybe because his bones were still around, he was able to regenerate from 1954 after the oxygen destroyer killed him. But like, that's it. Like, if this is supposed to be either a one shot that Godzilla has existed for forever and they're just watching him, or this is supposed to play off of Godzilla 1954 where they didn't actually kill him. However, they did kill him, but they didn't kill him, and he's just existed, and they're just tracking him since forever. And it's like, all right, well, if Godzilla's been around for the past 50 years, like, what has he been doing? Like, has he just not been coming ashore until now? Till the year 2000?
I mean, basically, yeah.
Yeah. It was weird. It was dubbed, which sucks. That's all Amazon had available was the dubbed version. And so the voices weren't that great. They started relying a lot on CG and less on practical. So it's getting rough. Like late 90s, early 2000s, Japanese CG shockingly doesn't look good.
Who would have thought, right?
Who would have thought? And it's also like, like I said, I did some reading on the next movie. They reboot it again in the next movie. where they used the Oxygen Destroyer in 54, but it didn't kill Godzilla, and it did nothing, and not, like, or like they reboot it to where the events of 54 never happened at all or something. I don't know. But like, I know this era is going to be weird entirely because, like, it is just a bunch of constant reboots essentially. I need to look up what the name of the film is that I've heard about a few times. It is, everyone just calls it GMK, but it's Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters All Out Attack. That is one title. Godzilla is formed from the souls of dead World War II victims.
Wait, what?
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to see if the wiki explains it, but this is from what I've watched a Evolution of Godzilla thing, and it's like he is formed from the souls of dead World War II victims, and he fights Mothra and Ghidorah in this or something like that. He doesn't look, he's not green, he's like dark colored, and I don't know, it's just, it's weird. Like, the next one is Godzilla vs. Megaguirus, which essentially reboots the series again. The prologue of the film acknowledges the events of the first Godzilla film, using 1954 Godzilla monster rather than a successor Godzilla, while inventing its own timeline, explaining that the Oxygen Destroyer was never used here, and the capital of Japan was moved to Tokyo, from Tokyo to Osaka. Like, they acknowledge 54, but they never actually killed him in the next movie. So, like, they rewrite the original Godzilla film.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, and then, Godzilla, I don't even know what Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla is gonna be like. And Tokyo SOS is just another Mechagodzilla film. I'm just looking forward to Godzilla Final Wars. I really can't wait to watch that in this era. But it's the final one. But it's where Godzilla fights all the monsters he's ever fought.
So how many movies are in this era?
There are 6.
Is this the shortest one?
Technically no. But yes, if you don't count the 2016 era that started with Shin Godzilla and includes the Godzilla Netflix movies, which there's only 4 of them. But that era, quote, is still going on. It's 2016 to present. But, like, Shin Godzilla is, like, kind of its own one-shot kind of thing. They had plans to bring that further, but just didn't. And it's just absolutely bonkers, and it is straight up a disaster movie. Okay. Whereas the CG Netflix Godzilla movies are just, they're not really that great. And they're different. They're completely different than any of the others. It doesn't really make sense to combine them with the 2016 to present Rira era, is what they're calling it. So right now, yes, the millennial era is not quite the shortest, but it could be depending on how many more Toho films come out based on Godzilla. But with Hollywood having the Toho rights or the Godzilla rights, I don't know if they're going to be making any for a while.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's...
Well, actually, then the Legendary Monsterverse is the shortest because there's only 3 Godzilla films.
Well, I meant like from like the original Japanese side.
Yeah, I know. All right.
Well, also, I mean, time-wise, like, the Millennium era, it was 6 movies in 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 99, 2000, 2001, 2, 3, and 4. So they released 1 movie a year.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Whereas, like, the Rewa era was 2016, 17, and then 2 movies in 2018. Whereas Legendary Monsterverse is 14, 19, 21. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
then.
Godzilla, what was it called? Just Godzilla 2000. It's definitely not my favorite. Not one that I'll go back and clamor to want to watch again.
Better or worse than the original Kong vs. Godzilla?
Oh, no, without a doubt better than the original Godzilla vs. Kong. King Kong vs. Godzilla, without a doubt better than. But it's still, it's probably better than Ebra Horror of the Deep as well. But it's, like, not that much better than those two. And those are, like, my bottom two, in my opinion.
Okay.
I'd probably go from bottom 3 would be King Kong vs. Godzilla, Ebra Horror of the Deep, Godzilla vs. Ghidorah, and then Godzilla 2.
Okay. That's fair. I think that's probably it, unless either of you have anything else you want to talk about.
No.
Nope.
All right, then, yeah, that's it. Everybody go home.
All right, bye.
All right. I'm already home.
If you'd like to find more of our content, you can head over to www.one-quest.com. You can also help us out by supporting us at patreon.com/onequest. If you can't support us there with dollars, you can go to your favorite podcast platform like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, all those places. Subscribe to us, rate us, review us. Those things help a whole bunch. You can also find us on social media, facebook.com/onequestonline or at @one_quest on Instagram and Twitter. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/onequestvideo, and you can always send us an email to social@one-quest.com. Otherwise, we will be back next week with something else to talk about. Thanks for listening. Bye.
See you.
Bye.